Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for today, 10/12/22. I am your host, Dave Atwell. Appreciate you joining us this evening for another wonderful broadcast here, Pop Culture Stars. So, as usual, I'm going to ease through the janky back door. Oh, jeez, maybe I won't. Either I don't have to lose some weight so I can squeeze through this thing without opening it totally up. But I can't do that. Smoking cigars and drinking my favorite malt beverage with a blue ribbon on it. There we go. I got it. Outstanding. I'll tell you what, it is a gorgeous freaking night out here, man. I'll tell you what, this is some straight up cigar burning, drinking weather out here. And if it was only on a damn Friday or Saturday night, it would be even better. But nevertheless, damn it, I can adapt and overcome on a Wednesday night. So as I light up this delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville, North Carolina, to introduce my esteemed panel of one this evening, playing Pop Culture Star Survivor. Tim, what's going on, man?
Good afternoon and evening, whatever, all that stuff, all bundled up in a nice, wonderful fall evening package. I'm doing wonderful. Todd's not here, so I'm going to steal his line. I'm outstanding to supernatural and ecstatic to be here. We are experiencing some, I guess, unseasonably warmer weather. It's pretty nice that I'm not on the porch because we had a little bit of rain come through, much needed rain, but other than that, yeah, sounds like we're kind of sharing the same weather for once. So I'll take it because I know it's not going to be around much longer. We've probably got about a week or two, and I know we're going to get slammed with an Arctic blast in there to remind us that the seasons have changed. But other than that, yeah, glad to be here and looking forward to a show between the two of us.
Outstanding. Good to have you here, man. And, yeah, we're in that kind of, I guess you'd call it Sodom or Fomer or something like that, where you kind of you got the air conditioner running at 11 a.m., but then come that evening, you got four blankets on the bed. So, and it can go either way here in North Carolina. I mean, hell, I remember this last Christmas. You know, we rent out the beach house now at Christmas, and, you know, the wife and I and my son and my daughter and all the grandkids get together at this beach house. Last Christmas, I remember them stressing out trying to find a beach store that was open on Christmas Day because it was in the 80s out here on Christmas. And wow. I was sitting three stories up, looking over the Atlantic Ocean, watching my wife, my daughter, and my grandkids play on the damn beach. And about a week later, you know, it was, you know, ice storm and all this other stuff going on. So, yeah, it's kind of odd time of year where you don't really know whether to put on a flannel shirt or to take it off. So, yeah. But I tell you what, it feels so good out here. But from what I understand, the weather's supposed to go to hell on us tonight. And tomorrow's supposed to be a total washout, which is fine. I mean, hell, I could use a rainy day, for crying out loud. I don't know about you, but every now and then a rainy day is kind of nice to have, you know, kind of knock out the housework and just kind of the dogs are chill and everything else is kind of chill and just kind of enjoy the bad weather, so to speak.
Yeah, I hear you.
So tonight, with it being just me and Sir Tim, we were floating around a couple of different topics to speak on, and we figure we start off with the new Game of Thrones, otherwise known as House of the Dragon. I guess I should just get in the habit of calling it House of the Dragon and quit calling it Game of Thrones too, because it's really not fair to do that to it, because it does. It has its own set of wheels, and it's doing quite well. And that's what we wanted to discuss tonight, is just, or at least way to start off. You know us here at Pop Culture Stars, we can't ever stick to a topic for more than 20 minutes. But, yeah, just the overall perception and how the opinion has changed from, you know, what is it, 8 weeks ago? It's hard to believe we've already been 8 weeks into this show. And there's two left. If I'm thinking right, there's 10 episodes in the season, I believe. But nevertheless, I know my opinion has totally changed about this show. So I figured it'd be something good to chew the rag over until we get, you know, a tangent into something else, as we always do here at Pop Culture Stars. Tim, you've watched the whole series so far, right? You're up to date, right?
Well, no, so that's what I was going to point out, and what is probably a good thing to point out for this. Now, I have seen Game of Thrones. I saw every season, every episode of Game of Thrones. And as far as the Dragon series, I'm trying to remember. I think we've hit at least the first 4 or 5 episodes, maybe even a couple. What did you say? They've only put out like one season so far, right?
Right. I think the 8th one that just came on Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. I know that we're not caught up. I'll put it that way.
Ah.
And by the way, I am going to have to put out the disclaimer. I apologize if what you hear is music in the background. I'm in my home office, which is the farthest most isolated point I can be from any set point of noise. But unfortunately, my son, we just basically acquired, inherited, if you will, a piano that's placed in the front room. So he enjoys playing the piano. He's actually quite good at it. So every once in a while, it sounds like now I'm hearing a harmonica. But nonetheless, yeah, so my personal thoughts on the first few episodes, I think that I had high expectations going in, because I remember how the first series started, and it feels like it grabbed me right away and I had to see the next episode. And to me, that's the way a new series, if it's good, that's what it'll do. This one kind of did. Like, I was like, all right, I'll go for the next one. And I'm not trying to be super critical here. I'm not like a Siskel and Ebert type of person anyway. But so far, it doesn't seem to have grabbed me like the first one. But I'm thinking maybe it could be following the same lines you were thinking, where maybe you weren't quite sure at first. But as it got going, you maybe fell more into the groove. But I don't know at what point how many episodes it took you to get to that point. And don't get me wrong, part of the plot, I mean, I am anticipating the next episode, you know, always. And so it's not like I'm completely bored watching it. I just don't have that on the edge of my seat feeling right now. So we'll see, though. I mean, that might change as we go.
Yeah, it's definitely been a story building season. And the reason why I kind of – if you go back and watch, I recall I knew about the Game of Thrones books. And I know, you know, with me being an author and everything, I kind of have a personal rule where I try to keep my books between 85,000 and 125,000 words. I know when you hear that, you're going, huh? Yeah, it's amazing how 85,000 words will maybe jack you right around, you know, 250 pages, give or take. So, you know, when you talk word count, because nowadays with font size and all that jazz in a book and everything, you can't really go by page count. It's just not doable. So I go by word count. And the reason why I try to keep it between 85 and 125,000 is because I want it to be something you're not going to read in a weekend, but I want it to be something that is not so long that you never go to read it. And that was the thing with the Game of Thrones books, is that I didn't read the books because they were all like the S volume of the encyclopedia. And, you know, a lot of times for me, you know, before we got the smartphones, the only time I had to read was when I was in the bathroom. So, you know, in the morning time, you read, depending on, you know, what you ate for dinner, you might visit it one more time in the evening. But, I mean, it would take me forever to read a book that's 1,000 damn pages. And that's a 5x8 size, not the 6x9 like my books are now, where they're getting a larger size to save on the printing. So nevertheless, I had heard about the books. I had heard about the premise behind it. I heard they were good. I heard they were very detailed. But the first Game of Thrones, I think they were about 4 episodes in when I finally got around to watching it. And I recall watching the first episode, and up to the point they pushed Bran out of the window, I was kind of just leaning on my, you know, fist with my elbow on the table, just kind of like going, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in retrospect, by the end of season one, I was gnawing at the bit by the end of season one. I mean, I was like, my God, this is incredible shit right here, you know?
Yeah.
Going back and watching that episode now, you know, because the first time I watched the episode, you have the part with the White Walker, and then you have Ned taking his sons out and explaining to them, hey, if you're going to cast judgment on a guy, you got to be willing to follow through with it. They take the deserter to the stump, and then they find the direwolves, and that's when they pass them all out. And John gets the runt, which turns out to be Ghost. But from that point, I thought it fell flat until the point at the very end when Bran gets shoved out the window. So, you know, the first time I watched it, I absorbed probably about 10 minutes of the hour that it was. But now going back and watching it through 8 seasons, I'm like, my God, this is brilliant. So going into this new thing with the House of the Dragon, you know, after the way they folded, and yeah, I said folded, not ended, Game of Thrones season 8, it was just totally abandoned. You know what I mean? And I know that people like to talk about the toxic fans and that kind of jazz, but, you know, when you invest time, when you stop every Sunday night at 2100 and you sit down and you watch for an hour, when you space your entire life around that hour, there's a certain amount of investment. Not to mention the T-shirts you buy and the action figures and all that kind of cool stuff. So as a fan, you have a certain degree of time, money, and love invested into these shows. And me, the shows who are reaping the benefit of the fandom should give a little back by doing their job correctly. And season 8 was a total just shit show. And you had a couple guys that weren't interested in writing it. You had HBO that was trying to cut back costs and wanted them to do everything in 4 less episodes. And then you had George R. R. Martin, who still hadn't written the damn thing yet. So nobody knew how it ended, and they were just having to fly by the seat of their pants. So it's all just kind of a toxic mix of mayhem that season 8 became. So going into this House of Dragon, yeah, my hand was still scabbed up from touching that hot stove of season 8. So going into House of Dragons, I was cautious. And I was like, yeah, all right, you know, we're going to give it a shot. We'll try it. And, you know, we'll give it an honest go. Watch the first episode. I was like, you know what, that wasn't bad. That was all right. Watch, you know, episode two. Yeah, that was pretty damn good. Watch episode three, and I was like, damn, I'm hooked. So without spoiling anything for you, of course, Tim, being a couple episodes behind, by the time this last episode happened, I was totally absorbed with it. I mean, I have really enjoyed it, and you know what's so funny about it? And I was telling my son this, we were talking about it earlier, is that if you look at the characters on that show, there are no good guys at all on that show. Everybody is dirty, except for the king. And all the king wants to do is build his city out of Legos and everything that he does and just be king.
Right.
But it's like everybody around him is scheming. You know, when you watch the first episode, Otto Hightower, his hand of the king, you kind of connect with him because he seems to be the voice of reason. And then you find out that he's got a bunch of nefarious stuff going on because he's the one that takes his daughter and says, hey, go over there and pork the king so we can move in on the damn crown. So they're dirty. His daughter, she's dirty to a certain extent. His brother is dirty. You know what I mean?
As
episodes continue on, you feel so bad for the guy. It's like, damn, man, it's got to suck to be king, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, it is, I'll put it this way, too. So it's tough for me. I guess I can associate it to my work life, because with work, I have so many irons in the fire, and it's easy for me to lose track, and I have to go back and reengage and watch again for it to kind of, it's kind of like a computer. It has to be pulled from the deep archive memory bank and pulled into current memory. And it's like, oh yeah, okay, now I remember, you know? So I'm kind of like fuzzy on some of the details anyway, because we've been watching, we just finished, which I think we kind of went over this on our last show, to be quite honest. I've been watching Dahmer. We finished that. I thought it was all right, but if you're really analyzing it, and maybe you got to take it with a grain of salt, because you know that, of course, a lot of that interaction, they're not going to know how that shit went word for word. But when you look at it and you think about how that really probably went in real life, like just, and I'm not thinking any specific scene, but like reactions or like victims' families' reactions, they seem very civil about things to a certain extent, and I just don't think that's how it really went down, you know?
I mean,
I'm thinking that there's a lot more emotion involved, and you know, I'm just not sure how well that would have been captured. But anyway, going back to that, I think that really it's just going to be a matter of going back to it and trying to pick up where we left off so I can engage and give a better opinion.
Yeah. Now, that Dahmer thing, I'm with you on that. I wrapped up watching that last week myself, and I got to hand it to Evan Peters. I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, that guy crushed it playing Dahmer. I mean, the mannerisms, the voice, the everything, he was right there at it. I did some deep diving after watching that too. And there was some, and I'll use the term embellishment. We got Stro in the queue. There was some embellishment done. Take, for instance, like the lady who lived next door to him. She didn't even live in the same building.
Oh, really?
That was a fictional character for a manipulation of a real character, so to speak. There had been complaints in the building about a certain odor and that kind of jazz. You know, that was true. But as per having the one lady next door, like it depicted, that lady never really existed. So there was a little bit of an angle there. The courtroom stuff was pretty close to true.
Right.
But then there was a lot of stuff that they put in there.
And you would expect that because they can prove it. Like, I'm sure that what you'd have to think of, and Papa Stroh's probably the better expert here. I'm speaking on something he can probably clarify. But in my opinion, in film, there's a couple different details that you have to consider. And A is that you're not going to know everything that transpired. So you're going off of maybe some witnesses and some interviews, but you have no idea, and there could be more than one point of view. So you don't really know. You kind of have to do some guesswork to capture some of those actual interactions between, say, Dahmer and his victim. Because I'm one of those dumbasses that can't just watch the thing and enjoy it. I have to sit there and go, now, how in the world would they have known exactly what Dahmer said to this guy before he killed him? Are they just going off of an interview? Or it's like, do they really know? Like, how did he fart before he did it? Or how do they know, you know, this guy didn't, you know. It's like, how
you're
can they be... Yeah, so there's
I did
that.
Same thing.
And then the other part of it is, I think you kind of already hit on it, is you know that for film purposes, they're going to embellish some other things. Kind of like, and I guess you've already clarified this is a fictional character anyway, but my God, the first episode or two where Dahmer walks down the hall and he's looking at her and it's real dramatic and real slow and there's this long, drawn-out stare, and I'm thinking, come on. Did they seriously do this weird stare down the hallway? I mean, they could have. I don't know. But to me, it seemed like it was kind of over-dramatized there. But I figure this is a couple things that you have to deal with in film. Overall, I liked it. You know, I thought it was great. Now, a question I got to you, though. You did some looking up. Do you know if the full moon, or I'm sorry, it was an eclipse. It was the eclipse thing. Did that really happen? I know that.
I do not know. I did not look up that part where him and Gacy. I know him and Gacy have a correlation of the baptism and the day that Gacy was being executed.
Yeah, I looked that up.
Yeah, that was straight. That was just pure coincidence, though. I mean, that kind of stuff happens regularly. You know, there ain't really much you can do on something like that. The guy who killed Dahmer. Hollywood said, because now his story is about Dahmer, when he did it at first, he said it was all a racial thing to him. He said that the one guy was, because the one guy stabbed his wife and blamed it on black guys. And then, of course, Dahmer, most of his victims were black. So, you know, the guy who went in there, as per that guard walking off and leaving the two of them alone, I don't know about that either. I do know that they were unattended. And he did a lot more of the Dahmer than just hit him in the face with a damn stick. A lot more, which I won't go into. But he, when they got him and he said, you know, basically it was all of a race that initiated his desire to put Dahmer out of commission, not to mention the fact that he was gaining some jail points by doing so. You know what I mean? Because, you know, if you're in for life, you've got to somehow build up that credit, jail credit. You know, if you've got a possibility of getting out, then, yeah, you got to mind your P's and Q's because you don't want to mess that up. But if you know you're never getting out, it's all about doing as much as you can to be the top of the heap. You know what I mean? And now this guy's come out years later. I mean, hell, it's been almost 20 years now, I think. And he's coming out and saying, you know, well, it's because he used to play with his food and used to, you know, make sarcastic jokes about eating people. I'm like, eh. I don't know about that either. I'll tell you another part that was a lie, and I won't even use the term embellishment. It's flat-out lie, was at the end when the cops got the award for outstanding police work or whatever, the two cops. That never happened. That was totally made up. So,
wow.
You know, I've got to kind of give Netflix the finger on that because that's not helping anything. Are there bad cops out there?
Right.
Yes. Are there bad doctors out there? Yes. Are there bad cashiers out there? Yes. And I can tell you, out of all of our professions, I'm sure we've known a couple dirtbags in our careers just the same. But I would dare say that was going a bit over the line, if you ask me. And in the current culture climate we have right now with those brave folks in blue, we don't need that kind of myth, fabrications. We don't need that shit. All that is a stir in the pot. We don't need that. So,
right.
But yeah, it wasn't bad. But I understand that the families of the victims weren't real pleased with it because, you know, for them, they don't want to rehash the stuff. You know,
right.
They don't want to see this guy. They want this guy to go away, and despite the fact that he's dead and gone, they don't want to see his face. They don't want to see him on the Inquirer. They don't want to, you know, see, you know, crime shows about him on the ID channel. They just don't want him around. So,
right.
You know, for the last, 30 years, they've been trying to exercise this demon from their lives, and now they made this miniseries, and there's Dahmer right back up front again. And I don't blame them for not wanting it to be done and everything. I mean, they've suffered enough, obviously. So, but Stroh, I see you have joined us this evening there, young man. I appreciate the assistance. How are you doing this evening?
Day by day, but I'm happy to be here with you all.
Good to have you, man. I'm sure you were listening on when we've been talking about Game of Thrones, the new one, The House of Dragon, and the other stuff we've been watching of late. So, now, have you watched House of Dragon at all?
Some of it. I've checked out some of it. It's an interesting story, but there's some elements in it that are really head-scratchers, honestly. But
yeah, there's an awful lot of, I don't want to say it, when you start getting into the uncles marrying the nieces and all that kind of stuff, for those of us that are just normal folk that don't live on the river, it is kind of off-putting.
Oh yeah, Yoda would say, you know, the incest is strong with this one.
But you know, in truth, if you go back to like the Tudors and everything, they did all kinds of that stuff, and that's why a lot of the kings in the 1700s had all kinds of health issues and deformities and everything else, and it's because there was too much cousin kissing,
too much keeping it in the family.
Yeah, man. I mean, for crying out loud, that's yeah. Oh. I guess if we jump in the time machine and we go back to like 1550 and we're going incest, ooh, that's gross, they'll probably, you know, burn us at the stake for heretics. What do you mean incest is bad? Yeah, well,
oh,
we come from 2022. We don't do that shit no more. Burn them. But
I mean, daggone. Yeah,
I mean,
it makes the dragons look like they're the pure ones.
Yeah, no kidding. I tell you what, that is something they've really done. They've really tightened up their game on the dragon scenes, man. I've been Totally. And who doesn't like dragons, for crying out loud? I mean, they're bad as hell. So
as long as they look like Puff the Magic Dragon, I'm cool. I'm good.
No, yeah, we can't have that one. That and what's the kids shows with the dragons? Isn't there a kids show with a purple dragon or something?
Oh yeah.
Can't do that. But like I was telling Tim in the green room with House of Dragon, it kind of had kind of a, people have been saying, it's slow, not a lot of action. Yeah, and I agree. But what I'm wondering is if it's kind of that cautious approach by HBO, because, HBO, they got a business to run. They can't be just throwing money to the wind. And with the results and the amount of hell they caught over that final season of Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps they didn't want to throw too heavy of a financial burden on the first season until they found out how House of the Dragon would be accepted. And now with everybody kind of getting on board with it and saying, wow, this is good shit, I think you'll see a more evolved season two. As a matter of fact, I thought I heard that season two won't be here till spring of 2024.
Right.
So
I don't think Daenerys or the dragon should have got killed off at the end of Game of Thrones. That was, what a mistake that was.
Yeah, it needed more. How do I want to put it? We all understood that she was going to go mad because she was one of the Mad King, and through all the inbreeding and all that kind of stuff, it was going to happen. But, it was like her and Jon Snow was porking in episode 3, and then he was stabbing her in episode 4, and it's kind of going, it just, what? The whole thing.
The one hero.
Yeah.
The one hero they had. I mean, everybody in that show was pretty much a scoundrel, right? And the one hero they had, Jon Snow, and they screwed it up. Just screwed it all up.
Yeah, and he was a likable character, and even him in that final season, he just didn't seem, Jon Snowy,
No. No. And then, and him killing Queen Daenerys, that wasn't Jon Snow either. I mean, he wasn't a killer, right? This guy fought a whole army by himself. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
In the battlefield, and he literally fought just about the entire army on his own. But yet,
yeah, it just didn't fall in. It just didn't seem right. So, comparatively speaking, go ahead.
They pulled the True Blood. They pulled the True Blood. What they did, because that show was on fire, right? Was a great show,
right?
And like at the end, the writers just sat back, smoked a few joints, and said, whatever. That's what it looked like.
Well,
because they had, at the end they had a picnic. Everybody getting along, all happy-go-lucky, and like, what is this? And they had the dude doing a vampire doing a commercial or something. It's something ridiculous, right? Oh my God.
Yeah, the first part that what upset most people I know is they had hyped up this huge battle. Winter is coming, winter is coming. And it was going to be like this total annihilation. Like, what the hell are we going to do? And it's, Judgment Day. And then it's just like, what? It was that easy? Like, what a freaking letdown.
Yeah, because these guys have been marching.
Jon Snow and the king, the Ice King. I was looking for him and Jon Snow, because you remember they had a face off, right? As Jon Snow was escaping with the survivors, and the Ice King kind of looked at Jon Snow because he was the only one that pretty much stood up to the to his army, right? And I'm thinking I'm psyched for this, right? And a lot of people were psyched for it, right? But it never happened.
Yeah, and there were some things that kind of towards the end of episode or season seven to kind of, you know, like when they shot the one dragon down. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't want to see a dragon get shot down more than the next guy. Dragons are right up there with dogs with me, you know, can't get enough of the damn thing.
Right.
But the next scene, they show these zombies, the undead, with these giant chains, and they're pulling the dragon out of the ice. And I'm going, you know, there had to have been a better way. I mean, you've got these freaking chains that got the links that are the size of a damn, you know, linebacker. These links are huge. And the undead, I thought the undead were mindless, feral. It looks like they're taking instruction pretty damn well because they're all efficiently pulling this dragon out of the damn icy water. So, you know, on stuff like that, you're kind of going like, okay, all right, well, there's going to be a big payoff. Just let it be. Let it be. It'll be all right. But they had been marching, and again, going back to what I was saying earlier about the first 5 minutes of season one was this White Walker attacking three of the guys from the Night's Watch in the woods. So...
yeah.
From the first minute of that show, we already had that White Walker presence. What are these guys all about? And throughout, and when you say eight seasons, you know, you say eight seasons and you're going, okay, well, you know, eight seasons. But that was close to, what, 14 years? I think that it ran. Okay, so for 14 years worth of our time, we've been watching these guys head south. And they finally breached the wall, which the whole idea behind the wall was to keep the sons of bitches out. But they breached the wall in one afternoon, okay? And then, as what you guys was alluding to, that that one episode, first off, it was shot in the dark. I couldn't see shit. You know, you almost, I heard people were changing the... changing the color on their television set to lighten it up so they could see it better. But all that marching was over with in one episode. And for me, the payoff just wasn't there. Yeah, I mean, it was a hell of a battle, and it was cool as shit. But on the flip side, you didn't get the Jon Snow Night King fight you've been looking for, like you alluded to, Stro. And... and Tim, like you were saying, man, you got all of this buildup, and it was over with in an episode. And then the following episode, we're going right back to the political espionage or the intrigue and all that kind of shit. And it's like, all right.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had
the coolest thing at that end.
Guy out.
The coolest thing of all the craziness at the end, the coolest thing I saw was the Hound battle.
Oh, yeah.
When the Hound's... yeah, that was the coolest thing. Otherwise, everything else was just, I'm scratching my head going, why is this happening?
I wasn't too particular about the mountain doing the zombie thing. I thought that was a little much. I was like, all right, you know, I'll digest this as I can. But it was, I agree with you, that fight at the end, because you knew those two guys. I mean, there were two brothers that hated one another. Neither one of them were good people. And you knew neither guy was going to win that thing. But to see them going at it, oh, God. So,
that was so cool. Hound was one of my favorite characters in the whole series. I love the Hound.
He was good. That whole – that fight that he had with – God, what's her name? The big chick.
The knight? She was a knight?
Yeah.
The blonde lady? Yeah.
Yeah. Man, they beat the living piss out of one another in that fight, man.
Oh, that was good. Yeah. That was great. Oh, she was a cool character, too. I liked her.
Yeah, she was good. I enjoyed her. There was a lot of good characters. Even the turds in that. I mean, Ramsey Bolton, he was great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
What a nasty, nasty person he was, man. I mean, he was a great character.
I hate it when Charles Dance characters got killed off because he was the father of
yeah.
He's such a good actor.
He was great. One of my favorite scenes with him was right there at the very beginning. I think it was at the, I want to say it was the beginning of season two, where Joffrey is up on the throne, and he's got his mother sitting there, and he's got Jaime and all them all around him, and they're all going, oh, hail King Joffrey, and the whole damn nine yards. Well, then the doors open up, and all you get is a picture of the floor going up to the Iron Throne, and you see this big pile of horseshit fall down. Tywin roared and rode his horse right into the court and let his horse take a shit right in the middle of the way. I was like, God, so freaking epic. Yeah,
right.
Tywin was, he was a fantastic character, man.
Mm-hmm.
You had to like him for as bad as he was, because despite the fact that he was, you know, classified as a villain, you had to respect the fact that the guy was all business.
Mm-hmm.
He called it, he saw it, and he made the hard decisions, and he removed all emotion from his damn operation. You know what I mean? He used his head on everything he did, regardless of how bad it hurt his heart. And he was
that
awesome,
look he would
man.
Give you. That look he would give you whenever somebody would say something, and you would just like give him that look like, no, that's not happening, you know?
Yeah. And you just knew that, you know, the guy was taking notes. that your credit rating had just dropped in his mind, you know? But, yeah, I mean, and with this House of Dragon, I have yet to attach myself, with the exception of the king. I think the guy playing the king is fantastic. Yeah, I feel so bad for the guy because he's just trying to be king. And he's got, you know, his brother showing his ass. He's got his daughter trying to pork his brother. He's got, you know, the hand of the king scheming behind his back with his daughter. And it just, I mean, the poor guy just could not cut, you know, could not get a break.
You know what he reminds me of? You know what the king reminds me of? He reminds me of, remember Conan the Barbarian, the movie?
Yeah.
Remember when they met up with the king that was all broken up because his daughter went with the snake people? And he was so distraught. He was so distraught that his daughter left him and went with the snake people that he was giving them all, Conan and his girl, all of his riches. He just couldn't care anymore, right?
Yeah.
The king, that's kind of reminds me of the king because, like you said, he's dealing with so much, you know what I mean?
And he was just broken, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to, I think, A, that we're going to have a pretty, because, you know, since you guys haven't watched it all the way up, I'm not going to go any further into what's happened. I can tell you, by the end of episode eight will bring it to the edge of your seat. There is so much about episode 8, that's the one that came on Sunday night, that will have you just standing there going, damn. I mean, it's powerful. And there's supposed to be two more episodes. So I'm sure they're going to wrap it up with a bang to a certain extent. But I still believe that with the positive response they're getting to the show, I see them just totally pulling out, going back to what made it good. And that's something that, you know, I've said before about season 8 of Game of Thrones, is maybe perhaps hit the bed so hard on that, is that if there's a good part, if there's any good that could be taken away from season 8, is the fact that it made everybody aware of just how shitty you can do the job. You know what I mean?
Right.
Have you ever gone out with a girl and just totally blown it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even though you know you'll never get another shot at her, you just know that, okay, whatever I do, no matter who I meet, I can't do that again. So even though it was a bad experience, you deem some good out of it because you learned not to do that same whatever again. And that's what I'm thinking with this House of Dragons. I think they've gone back, they've looked at season 8 of Game of Thrones and said, okay, we really screwed this up. And they put together this new program, which I am really hooked on it now. I'm all in. And
oh yeah.
It's good to see them taking good writing and good work seriously again instead of just shitting something out. So I'm looking forward to it. I think they're going to do good, and I think the future is bright when it comes down to that series. Maybe perhaps we'll have another 14 years worth of chilling in Westeros and enjoying the enjoying the shenanigans, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's great to see good character and story development again, you know, with that show.
Yeah, definitely. Now, one thing I will say, and I cracked this joke earlier this afternoon with Ron Ronson on Facebook. You seen where they pushed back a bunch of the Marvel movies? They put a couple on hold, and they pushed back the release dates on a handful of other ones and everything. And
yeah, they're pulling DC, aren't they?
yeah, exactly. And they, with pushing back the dates, even though they gave us a new date, I had made the remark to Ron that was, well, that's great. Now I just have to make sure I live that long.
Oh, God, yeah. Jeez.
Because at 52, you start thinking about these things. And, you know, Game of Thrones, I mean, if it runs for 14 years like the other one did, hell, I'll be damn near 70 by the time it's up, you know?
Kind of like what Walking Dead type span. Jeez.
Yeah. Now, Walking Dead, my God, as many friends as I have that have been on that show, and as much as I love that show, this last little bit has just been absolutely agonizing.
Yeah.
I didn't see Sunday nights, but Rob told me they actually had a wrestling match in this episode.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. Now, to Rob's, you know, point, he said, well, aren't zombies attracted to noise? He says, isn't everybody supposed to be kind of just still right now to keep from attracting them? He says, so you throw a wrestling event? And people are hollering and cheering and carrying on. He says, that's not smart. And I don't know what it is. I mean, Stro, how many of the damn zombies from that show do we know, for crying out loud? I mean, between Kosky and Sonya and Gregory French and, I
know Nicotero, the guy that doctors him up. I mean, I did a movie with his brother years ago, 1224.
Really?
And yeah, and so yeah, I mean it's we know a lot of people that have been on set with them.
But I mean, for a bit being a zombie apocalypse show, there's been a damn decline in zombies in the damn shows.
It's not even about zombies anymore. It's like
It doesn't. It'd be like a Rocky movie that doesn't have any boxing in it. It just doesn't seem to jive. And without getting too far off in the politics of it, when they started, and if you watch The Walking Dead now, you know, we spoke about it before. I understand that we've got to do a better job of looking out for one another, regardless of our color and our religion, sexual orientation, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes down to storytelling, you've got to, you know, if you're doing a Western, okay, and you've got an Arab guy in it, you're going, huh? Because I don't think there was a whole hell of a lot of Arabs in Dodge City. So despite the fact that you want to be inclusive, and I understand that, but when you're telling a story, it's kind of hard for the audience to take it seriously when you're not being genuine to the genre. And if you watch The Walking Dead, you see a lot of it. You've got, okay, you've got the hefty Samoan guy, check. You got the lady who wears the hijab, check. You've got the deaf girl, check. You've got the possible transgender chick, check. You know, and before you know it, by the time you check off all the demographics, you've got so many characters that you really can't. And that was something that me and Rob was discussing the other night, was that I could tell you all the characters' names, even the obscure ones, in seasons 1, 2, and 3. But I can't tell you the main characters of the show now.
You know where they really screwed up? They screwed up when they killed Carl. Because he wasn't supposed to, because he, in the comics, you know, he was like one of the main people that were survived, right? And then when they had Rick, the main character, like move away, get sent up in a helicopter, and that killed it even further.
Yeah,
and it's just like, you know, they made so many mistakes on that show. You know, they're like Carl and Rick were like two of the founding people that the show started basically on.
Yeah, it was what the show was all about. It was about this father and son working their way through the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
It wasn't about political intrigue. It was about these two individuals trying to make their way through a horrible moment in damn human history.
If it weren't for Negan, if it weren't for Negan's character in it now, the show would be just god-awful without him.
Yeah, they're not even using him correctly.
No, and I even hear that actor, Jim Morgan, he's not too happy about it either.
No, it's funny you mention him because a couple months ago when they made the announcement that they were going to have a Negan and Maggie spinoff show. Okay.
Yeah.
I had told, when they announced it, I told the crowd here, I says, well, that's kind of a spoiler. You know, because now we know they're going to make it. If they're going to have a spinoff show, obviously they're going to make it to the end of the season, right?
Right.
So, I'm going, how stupid is that? And, of course, it's me, and I'm going, all right, Dave, you're being a little too cynical again. You know, quit being such an ass about things. Well, apparently Jeffrey Dean Morgan was at a Comic-Con here recently and was on a panel.
Mm-hmm.
And
somebody
had asked the same question, and he answered to the effect of, yeah, he says, I was at the house when I heard about it. He says, I heard about it through social media. And he said, when I heard it, I says, well, damn, I guess the cat's out of the bag about what's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's just not us down here shaking our head being toxic fans. I mean, it does. It takes away because now you watch it and there's no suspense when it comes down to those two characters because you know they're going to live.
Yeah, it's bad when the actors don't even know about it.
Right.
Nice segue to that. You remember that table read where on the Game of Thrones, that footage of the table read when the old dude found out he was being killed off?
Oh, yeah. The guy who played Viserys or whatever, the spider?
Yeah. And you see the look on his face, and, man.
He's still pissed about that.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's still sour about that. Whenever he does interviews about it, he still talks about how pissed off he was. He was another intriguing character that they just shit all over, you know, and it's, I don't know. My whole vision on writing changed when I wrote the books, because I realized then just how important a story is to the success of a story, if you will. I know that sounds crazy, but, you know, anybody can just sit down and, let's take Star Wars or Indiana Jones, Star Trek. We'll take any of those franchises. You sit down and you write a story about them, and you just seed the characters in there. Half of the work is already done for you as a writer. Half of the work is already done because we already know who Darth Vader is. We already know how cool Indiana Jones is. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So the burden of character development is no longer there because everybody already knows who you're talking about. So what you have to do when you're writing is, since you don't have the burden of character development, you have to have the ability to extend that character. And what do I mean by extending that character? You have to take the character's development that was handed to you, and you have to take it to the next level. So you can't do things. It would be like you writing a story about the Lone Ranger and he takes his mask off.
Oh.
We all know the Lone Ranger don't take his damn mask off. Right?
Wow.
But if you've never
Then there would be no Lone Ranger then. You know?
Correct.
He took his mask off.
If you've never watched the Lone Ranger and now you've been given the task of writing the script for a Lone Ranger show, him taking off the mask means nothing to you because you have no idea what the hell you're writing about. So.
Right.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of, and you could definitely see on The Walking Dead where a lot of the characters just kind of quit being themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know. And granted, you got to look, they've got multiple writers on these things. That doesn't help because I interpret a character as X. Stroh interprets it as Y, and Tim is, you know, interprets it as Z. You know, it's just like cooking. You know, you like black pepper, so you put more black pepper in there. I like damn Old Bay seasoning, so I put more Old Bay seasoning in there. It kills the consistency, you know. But The Walking Dead right now is just the best.
Yeah, and if this is their final season, there's got to be a cool end game to this, because it just seems that they just go through this same old pattern over and over about communities and all this, and you know, A's got to lead to B, B's got to lead to C. You know, I mean, it's got to lead to somewhere. You can't keep doing the same old stuff over and keep the audience interest up. Like, you know, what if
bumped off? That's another thing that kind of, I mean, nobody wants to see their characters die. Don't get me wrong. I get that. But when it's the zombie apocalypse, we know that kind of stuff's going to happen. And it adds to the intrigue As a matter of fact, I used to call it staff reductions. You know, getting towards the end of the season, all right, time for a staff reduction. Because what you can't do is carry three dozen into the next season when you're going to introduce another dozen to 20 characters, and then you've got to carry five dozen characters into the next season. And if you go back and you watch, you know, like season one, you know, season one, right there at the end of season one, man, there was a purge of characters. The end of season two, the whole stuff that went on at the farm.
Right. I mean, are they going to find a cure? Or is the world going to just be doomed? Or is like one day? Or are we going to see Rick actually wake up in the hospital bed and find out this all was a dream?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Oh, man.
It's left the rails so bad. And it's a shame because, again, you know, Stro, I mean, me and you, we do cons now as a form of work, of course. But before then, we would go to cons because particular people were going to be there. You know what I mean? Particular, you know, people from our favorite shows were going to be there. But The Walking Dead now, I can't honestly say that I would say, hey, I want to go to X-Con, not X-Con Myrtle Beach, of course, but X as my example con, just because they've got random-ass people there. Yeah, it's kind of hard to explain, but it just, I don't know. I always enjoyed latching on to characters, to having particular characters. Yeah, put it to you this way. Game of Thrones, going back to Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Wedding episode. We all know about the Red Wedding. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me that after watching that episode, you weren't sick to your stomach. You weren't just like,
I cannot.
Yeah. You're watching and you're going, there's no. Go ahead. You got it, Tim.
Oh, I was just going to say I was ready to stop watching. There were about three different times during that show where I was like, well, who the hell do I root for now? You know?
Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of sucked. But then I'd be drawn right back in because I'm like, all right, how are they going to fix this shit? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
How am I going to get pulled back in?
And in retrospect, when you're done watching these shows, after the years go by, you watch these things and you gain a respect for them because they were willing to take a compelling edge to their writing and kill off the guy you loved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It truly keeps you guessing because you don't, when they do it that way, it's not your typical fairy tale ending where everything comes out perfect and happy, and it keeps you guessing because you don't get to go, oh, well, you know he's going to live. You know, you don't know he's going to live. They kill me.
I mean, look at the end of Rogue One. I mean, by the end of Rogue One, you were attached to Jen Erso, K2, Andor. You were attached to these guys, and you knew the percentage of a chance of them living through this thing was like 2%. But still, to the minute the credits rolled, you held that 2% in your heart, hoping that they were going to make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's what made it so freaking good. And, you know, the end of season one, you know, when Sean Bean went up there, Ned Stark.
Yeah.
You know, and Joffrey pulls that, you know, but they're, you know, he's asking for mercy. And you're thinking, okay. The only thing that kept you from thinking otherwise is the fact that Sean Bean, and he dies and everything he's in. But nevertheless, you're going, okay. They're going to cut Ned a huss. Next thing you know, Ned's no longer with us. And I still, to this day, I've watched that episode, I don't know how many times. And whenever that episode comes on, I'm like, damn. Because Ned Stark is a fantastic character, man.
Yeah.
You had to love the guy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
He's so good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's epic, man. Even when he was Boromir in Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
And the way he went out and that when Lurtz was just standing over him, you know, and it's like, oh, damn, this is not happening. You know, you can feel your heart breaking inside your chest, you know. But that's
mm-hmm.
what made it good. That's what made that stuff rock.
He's killing it right now, Snowpiercer.
You know, I haven't watched that yet. Haven't watched it, though. I need to check it out.
But yeah, he's rocking it in that show. Sean Bean is.
Yeah, it's now, going back to the writing thing, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched Werewolf by Night yet?
I've heard of it. I want to check it out.
Dude. You know, for all the assed up, agenda-ridden garbage that Disney Plus has been putting out of late,
mm-hmm.
they went back to basics, and they did what needed to be done.
Awesome.
And you know what was
about
neat
time.
About it? Is that
mm-hmm.
if you watch the show, there were all shapes, all sizes, all colors, all everything in that show. There was an amalgam
mm-hmm.
of all different kinds of races, all kinds of different people, tall, short, fat, in between, skinny, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it was shoved down your throat. You didn't even realize that there were characters there with different skin colors and different genders
mm-hmm.
and different weights. You didn't notice it because it wasn't compacted into your psyche. It was just some
right.
good old-fashioned, kick-ass movie watching. And it's like 54 minutes long, but it's shot
mm-hmm.
like the old black-and-white horror flicks.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. The ending
That's
was
awesome.
A little crazy.
I want to check it out, though. Mm-hmm.
I love it. But it proved that they can be inclusive, all-inclusive. They can be fair to where it's not just a bunch of white guys in there.
Right.
But without it being the whole premise of the show. Hey, look, we have a, you know, a brown-skinned gentleman here, black-skinned gentleman there, and we have a lesbian over there. No.
Mm-hmm.
It was just good filmmaking. And, yeah, if you get a chance, watch it. With it being dark, it's an even better
mm-hmm.
time to watch it. Plays out. The coolness of the old black and white monster movies with today's filmmaking magic. It wasn't
mm-hmm.
clunky at all, you know, where the... You know, the bats are, you know, got strings attached to them and shit like that. No, I mean, this is, it's legit stuff. Worthy of the watch, man. I loved it. Thought it was great.
Yeah, I definitely would check it out. Sounds really good.
But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how many, going back to The Walking Dead, I don't know how many episodes they've got left. And I know they're supposed to be having a Daryl show, and they're supposed to be having a Negan and a Maggie show, and then a Rick and a Michonne show.
Mm-hmm.
And I genuinely don't know how well – I don't know. It's just they've removed the survival aspect out of it.
Yeah.
That was the thing I always liked about The Walking Dead is that there was a survival – aspect, and there was a certain amount of, as Tim was alluding to earlier, there was no plot armor. The only guys that had plot armor in that whole show was Rick and his son.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Everybody else was open season.
Yeah.
if you read the comic book, Herschel didn't last nowhere near as long as he did in the comic book.
No. Darryl wasn't even in there.
Yeah, he wasn't even in the comic book. He was an add-on. So, with all that being said, you got to kind of – I don't know if they're going to be able to revive that old feeling, regardless of whether they got guys like Jeffrey Dean Morgan or Andrew Lincoln in there giving it all they got.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if they can recreate the magic and keep their agendas – in place. You know, another thing I'd like to bring up real quick about The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure if you guys noticed this, but it's kind of funny how Hollywood pushes this, you know, especially with the She-Hulk thing, you know, the objectivity of women, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that in this season and last season, the copious amount of butt shots that you get from the one thick girl that's the sister of the guy who's in charge of the guard, the big black guy, his sister, the one with the glass that works with the boss lady. Every time they show her, they show her from the back, and you get the copious butt shot. Same way with Maggie. And I'm going, okay, I don't get to see nobody else's butt in this show, but there are two butts. Why is that? Because they got the fluffiest butt to the whole cast. So you're going to shove this whole agenda thing down my throat, but you're going to give me copious butt shots on these two young ladies who have nice butts. And I'm going, this is disingenuous as shit, man.
Mm.
Well, which brings me another thing, too. I don't know if you saw, you know, this last Jurassic Park flick that was out. Of course, I hadn't seen it yet. I heard it was a wreck. But Ron Howard's daughter, North Dallas 40 or wherever, whatever her name is, Bryce, Dallas Bryce Harper, or God, I feel bad because I can't remember her name. Bryce Harper's a ball player. Regardless, she had gotten on one of these podcast interview things, whatever, and was talking about how she felt put out by the producers and the directors of the movie because they had asked her to lose weight and to get in shape for the role. And she was talking about how hard it was to do that and how she felt like it wasn't fair that women are forced to do that for the sake of, you know, slobbering males wanting to watch, you know, them walking around, you know, in tight butts and big boobs and everything. And I'm going, okay. Well, tell the same thing to Chris Pratt, your co-star, the guy who looked like me and dropped like 40 pounds and then, you know, dropped his damn BMI by like 20% to be Star-Lord.
Right.
You know, do you think you look at guys like Dave Bautista and Hugh Jackman, who have been fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
In their roles. And you know why both of them want to quit doing it? It's not because they don't love acting. It's not because they don't love the characters. It's because they're getting damn near 60 years old, and they're tired of working out every damn day.
Yeah.
But you don't see them getting on these podcasts going, oh, I feel violated because they want me to be working out. I mean, you don't see Steve Carell playing Superman. There's a reason for that. He's got the hair for it, but he ain't got the physique. Right?
And if she didn't want the role, she should have never got the role then, if that's what the role required.
So I'll tell you what, I used to have a really nice body, but it started to smell bad, so I had to bury it in the backyard.
Yeah, I was doing fine until 40 hit.
Jeff Dahmer humor there.
uh, But yeah, I'm total dad bod city at this point. I don't think there's no turning back at my age. I think the next spot here is probably some debilitating illness that's going to make me drop about 40 pounds and people will be walking up to me going, are you okay? Yeah, I don't see me, you know, the time has passed. I mean, I might be able to lose a couple pounds here and there, but as per getting into Thor shape, just ain't in the cards. But, yeah, I saw that, and I'm thinking, okay, all right, well, you know, you had to get in shape for a role. Ain't that a bitch? So did Chris Hemsworth, and then so did Hugh Jackman, and so did, you know. And let me go ahead and ask you this, ma'am, while we're on the topic. Did you get paid? Oh, so you did get a check. You did get a check. Okay. So... Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, my pressure washing business, okay? I wash your house. I get covered in mud and ants and mildew and bird shit and everything else. But then you hand me a check, or better yet, cash. Guess what? I don't have to walk around going, I can't believe they expected me to get covered in mildew for this job. Hey, I can pay for it. You know what I mean? It's when you don't get paid for it is when you're being exploited. But as long as you're getting a damn check, shut up. And think about the people working at goddamn Burger King that burn themselves every day for $10 an hour.
Yeah.
Because it happens. I guess that's enough for my rant. Nevertheless... Got to do a time check, man. I feel the time is getting upon us.
Yeah.
And, yeah, not doing too awful bad with time this evening. And despite being short-staffed, I think we did a pretty good job on the show tonight. Wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
So, tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and kick it around the room here real quick. And I say real quick, hell, we got 10 minutes to play with, but nevertheless, we'll kick it around the room for the departing shots and plugs. So, Strong, we'll start off with you, as I always do, sir, due to your busy, busy schedule. So, lead us off there, young man.
Yes, sir. Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. We'll be discussing the scariest wrestlers in history. So if you have any cool, scary wrestler stories or moments, please call in. And then Friday night on my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, at midnight Eastern Standard Time. The feature will be Abbott and Costello meets Frankenstein. So please tune in for that classic. And then... Friday and Saturday, actually Saturday and Sunday, I will be at the Fayetteville, North Carolina Comic Con at the Crown Complex in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I'll have a table there and everything, greeting the fans, and also be doing commentary for the wrestling event that later in the evening as well. So if you're in the Fayetteville, North Carolina area, come by Saturday and Sunday to see us at the Fayetteville NC Comic Con. And yeah, thank you for having me. It's always a blast being on here.
Absolutely, man. And I'll tell you, that Fayetteville show is booming, man. Every year that thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That one's really, really put out some fruit, man. So
I hear a lot of good things about it. So yeah.
Yeah. I've been wanting to go to that one, but it's kind of funny how you got to kind of pick your battles. For anybody who desires to write a book out there, yes, indeed, everything starts with a story. Every comic book starts with a story. Every movie starts with a story. But when you write a book, it's like you're at the bottom of the food chain. when it comes down to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how many times, you know, you've got a hit TV show, right? And you've got the big actors here, and they've got long lines. And then you've got mm-hmm. the second-tier actors here, and they've got pretty decent lines. And then you've got the guy who's over here saying, hey, I wore the green shirt on episode 3 of season 6. I'm the guy way in the back holding the shovel in the green shirt. And he has a line, mm-hmm. but then the guy who wrote the script for the whole damn thing is sitting there filing his nails waiting for somebody to come up and get his damn... So the Fayetteville Comic Con one has, and Stro, I know you'll agree when I say this, there are some Comic Cons you go to that are more pop culture cons, and then there's some you go to that are just directly comics. You know what I mean? Where it's more centered towards, say, your artists and that kind of stuff. And that's why I've been a little hesitant to pony up the dollars to go to that, to some of those shows like that, just due to the fact that, you know, they're there to get the guys to autograph the sketches of the Hulk and that kind of jazz. They're not there to pick up books from a guy who, you know, wrote something. So, you know, that's the reason why I've been holding off on that one myself. But, man, that thing, that one's like the Greenville one. Every year it gets more and more teased. I mean, that thing's turning. It's no longer a damn little lemon shark. That thing's a straight great white now, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's doing real good. Man, I wish those guys nothing but success because despite, you know, us doing our things with the cons here, competition is good, and to keep the excitement going so when you see other people succeeding in other towns, you can't mm-hmm. be envious of them. You have to be tickled to death because it's keeping the blood flowing. It's keeping things exciting. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, you'll have to let us know next week how everything went, man, because I'm curious to see how much bigger it is this year versus – because they didn't do it last year, did they?
I don't think so. So this is like the first time back.
And it may turn out to be like XCon. Because I'm sure you'll agree, XCon caught me with my britches down. I didn't have a whole hell of a lot of success. Matter of fact, more often mm-hmm. than not, I used XCon as an excuse to go to Myrtle Beach.
Right.
And I did a whole lot of success. But this one that we went to in May, Jesus, man, I was on the ropes for the whole damn thing. That's why you never saw me. Because mm-hmm. I couldn't get away from the damn table. So, yeah, hopefully that'll be a good show for you, man. You're going to have to let us know. So safe travels out here. You know how Fayetteville is. Keep your eyes open.
And
your head down.
I'll be seeing you the following week, actually. The Lion Eyes Games thing they got going on?
Yes,
yeah.
I was running my mouth about you today on a couple posts, making it aware that you were going to be there. Hope you don't mind.
Oh, cool.
But
No, thank you.
Yeah. So, look forward to seeing you, man. That one's, I think we're going to have a lot of fun at that one, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, folks are going to be there. And the cool thing about those pops is that there's a fandom that goes with, it's not like Beanie Babies where you were just collecting the Beanie Babies. It's, these things are kind of like, hey, I like Star Wars, so I'm collecting the Star Wars ones. It's not mm-hmm. just a hobby. It's, you know, they got sports ones. They've got, you know, Star Wars, Marvel, DC, whatever your jive is. Hell, they got wrestling ones, for crying out loud. And if wrestling's your group, they got wrestling for you. So, I think it's going to do good. And Shay over there at Lion Eyes, he always puts on the dog for everybody, man. He's a hell of a good guy. So, y'all, I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to really rock that one, man.
Awesome.
And
can't
of course,
wait.
It's good. Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you joining us this evening very much. Always good to have you aboard. Now, Tim,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to swap things your direction, dude. What you got going on?
Mm-hmm. No, a whole lot of nothing. Just still always claiming I'm doing the cleanup in the yard, you know. I already went through this spiel last week. It looks like it's basically the calm before the storm. You can still see all the color up in the trees, so you know that it's not fallen yet. And it's just, you know, I'm going to come out there in like 2 days, and all of a sudden it's going to be completely covered. I mean, it won't be that
one
quick,
cup,
but that's
yeah.
how fast it happens. You know, yeah, I look around, and like, yeah, I still got a few leaves. I don't have to give the yard a final mow yet. And then all of a sudden I look outside, and it's like Armageddon's happened. And it's like, oh, my God. And at that time, it was, you know, zero for like a month straight, a little rain, so it won't be any time for me to get outside. And then all of a sudden it'll be spring, and the yard will look like shit. But, you know, other than just having fun enjoying this changing season, I'm just chilling, trying to catch up on work, and it'll be the same the following week, looking forward to fall break. We do have that coming up next week, so I'm still going to be working, but the kids will have fun time off, so that's cool. Yay. And that's about it. Back over to you.
Cool, man. Well, it's definitely good to have you aboard this evening. Always appreciate the input. As we all know, our Granny Hulkster is doing some traveling tomorrow, so she wasn't able to join us this evening. And of course, Todd, with his workload that he's been up against here of late, needed some rest this evening, so want to send the best out to them, and safe travels, and get some rest and all that kind of good stuff. And I'm sure they'll be back with us soon. For me, real quick, just want to kind of echo what Stro had mentioned about the pop swap in Lionize Games on the 22th of October. That is 10 days from now. I'll be all business in it because, yes, I am a Funko Pop collector, and I'm toting out quite a bit of stuff and hoping to go back with a large pocket and empty totes. So, and from what I understand, Dr. John's got a lot of stuff planned. He's got a cornhole tournament. And, of course, he's got, you know, Stroh's going to be there with us. So it's going to be more than just, you know, just out there switching bobbleheads around, that kind of stuff, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You guys
so
Office Space, moving up. Remember Office Space where he's getting ready to go turn himself in, and he's talking to his neighbor, and he starts to walk away and goes, "Look out for the cornhole, Peter."
I love playing that stuff, but then, you know, when I got on TikTok and I started looking at these guys playing on TikTok, and there's like 8-year-old kids that don't miss. I mean, I'm going, shit, ain't no need me getting interested in this. There's 8-year-old kids just dropping them in a hole from 60 feet. What am I going to do? You know? I mean, the amount of damn coordination it takes to be good at that kind of stuff is amazing. But, yeah, it'd be interesting. Dr. John apparently has got that lined up. There's plenty of room over there at Lion Eyes. And as I said, Shay, the gentleman who owns it, fantastic guy, man. I cannot say enough good about him. Just a good, very smart business guy who willing to take a chance, and he does it with intelligence. He doesn't do it willy-nilly, and him hosting events for us and everything, I know with the Jacksonville Minicon, it went off without a hitch, and I was very pleased with the results we had on that. And so, you know, with the amount of noise we've been making about this pop swap, excuse me, I can picture some pretty damn decent results of this going on too. So looking forward to it. Following that up, we've got November 19th at Havelock Comic Con, which we will all stroke. I think you'll be at that one too, right?
Yes. Sure will.
Very good. Very good. We're trying to drum up a couple other bodies to be out there. And when I use bodies, I don't mean that in a derogative sense. I mean more working stiffs like ourselves out there trying to push our craft. I know Josh Mayers won't be joining us for that one. He's got anniversary things going on, as do I. But it'll be our 27th anniversary, so, I mean, you know, by that time, it's the honeymoon's over anyway, so I will be there. Havelock Comic Con, November 19th, and then the Grand Strand Con coming up on 26th, 27th, Myrtle Beach. I checked the website night before last, and they haven't got a exorbitant guest list up yet. I know a young lady who played Batgirl is going to be on there. A gentleman who played Spawn does cosplay with a huge Spawn stuff. And the guy who played Darth Vader in the Kenobi series, not voice-wise, but did the whole fight sequences and all that, which was quite a bit if you watch that. Darth Vader was not as stiff as he normally is. He was getting down with the Jedi art, so he'll be there. And only Lord knows who else they're going to add in the next upcoming weeks and everything. So we'll leave it at that. And then, of course, the Jacksonville Comic-Con, which we will dig more into. That's going to be the home field advantage for me and Stro. I really expect us to bring down the house, hopefully have some of our White Oak alum out there cheering us on for that one. Because those local shows, man, that one's the one that's always, you know, it's, you can call New Bern local, but when it's right there 5 minutes from where you live, man, that's local. That's how you do it. And that is February 18th, 2023, which ain't too damn far away, believe it or not. I mean, it's kind of hard to believe. No. We're already halfway through October right now as it is. I would like for time to continue going like this until Election Day of 2024, and then it can slow down again.
Yeah.
Had to get my licks in on that gentleman when I could, but nevertheless, that'll be it. And as Todd always says, folks, try to take care of one another. Try to find the good. And it's the little things you do. It's amazing how just one small act of pleasantry can really save a person's day. And it doesn't cost you anything. Doesn't take any materials to build. It could be things from holding the door for somebody, it just the smallest of things, being, you know, pleasant to a waitress and all that kind of jazz, that can make a world a much better place. So take the time to be a little more understanding, a little more pleasant, and understand that the world's a tough place, and the more we try to make good of it, the better it'll get. So with all that being said, I'm going to take a magic drag off of this. Smoking a Partagas tonight, man, for the cigar-smoking public. These are damn good cigars. I've been smoking these things for years. And it's a heavy Maduro, but damn if they ain't good. And they burn forever. I love these damn things. So nevertheless, take a big drag. Oh, yeah. Hold it in, let it out. And then we go through the janky back door Atwell Manor. Cue in the British lady. Hey, Sadie, what you doing over there? My little lab chilling on the lip seat. Don't even get me started on my dogs again. All right. Let's see if Spectrum Internet has come through. Spectrum. I'll be damned, I still have Internet. That's amazing. Spectrum Internet held up for 90 minutes. All right. With all that being said, we appreciate you joining us this evening. Stro, Tim, love you guys. Appreciate you helping me out this evening. And we will talk to everybody next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Y'all have a wonderful week. And British lady, where is your old salty ace? British lady. Whew, man, the laptop is lethargic tonight. there's a good word for you, lethargic. Not slow, not sleepy, but lethargic. Okay, so the laptop doesn't want to play nice. What we're going to do is we're going to end this thing manually. So, again, everybody had a wonderful week. Thanks again for joining us here at Pop Culture Stars. Talk to y'all in a bit. And we'll do the manual. Oh, wait a minute. All of a sudden it popped up. Here we go, British.